sticks, and straw huts. And if you look with me in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, I'll start there. And what I want us to do over the next couple of weeks, we've buried Abraham, and we're going to continue on in our studies. But right now, I feel like the Lord wants us to get a revelation about tongues. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, and I want you to look at that in your Bible. I want you to start there with me. It'll be on the overhead if you don't have your Bible. This is the church where you should always bring your Bible, because we look at things, and I'll have different translations and word studies and that kind of thing always on overhead. But I wish that you would always turn to the ones that I ask you to. Now, I try not to wear you out, because I use so many scriptures that I know you can't turn to them all. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it says this: "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Let's pray. Father, you have something that you want to say to us. And now, Lord God, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you reveal it to us. Lord, that we won't be stuck in traditions of men. We won't be bound by dispensational doctrine. That, Lord God, we'll know what your Spirit wants to say to the church concerning tongues. Lord, open our ears that we can hear what the Spirit says. Lord, anoint me, Lord, that I can bring forth as the sower goes forth to sow the word, that I can sow it, Lord God, the way it should be sown, and it'll fall on good soil. Lord, I ask you now in Jesus' name to help us. And everybody says, hallelujah, that's me, I want that. Okay, now, as I was studying and preparing over these past couple of days concerning tongues, to preach it and teach it as a weapon of warfare Wednesday nights, the Lord opened my eyes, and I saw in the dimensions of the Spirit in a way I've never seen before. I saw the body of Christ. I saw it upon this wonderful foundation, as Revelation chapter 21 tells us, that the New Jerusalem has the 12 foundations, which are the 12 apostles. In chapter 21, it tells us that. And then it goes on to say in verse 14 of chapter 21 that these foundations were arrayed in precious stones. They were all sorts of jewels and all sorts of lovely things. And these foundation stones that were there were just beautiful and gorgeous and massive. It was, the city is 1,500 miles square. It's trying to give us a massive idea. And these huge, huge foundation stones are there. But the body of Christ and the church and the people, you and I, we have little huts built upon this fabulous foundation, little huts built of straw and sticks. And we're living and we're satisfied to live in a little hut of straws and sticks when we could have gold and silver and precious stones that we can live in. Now, how in the world does tongues hook up with all that? Well, you see, I learned, and what the Lord showed me, is that the primary purpose for tongues, especially as a weapon of warfare, is to build the house. Is to build the house. And what the enemy has successfully done is take tongues out of the church. Therefore, the house can't be built. And we settle for straw huts. And over the next couple of weeks, I want us to have a revelation about tongues. I want us to understand it. Now, hear me. We were in here Wednesday night. And after I had shared an hour and a half, and I still didn't touch hardly anything that I wanted to share, went an hour and a half, and people were still wanting it. It was such a wonderful, anointed time that we were together. We shared and we talked and we interacted, and the microphone was passed around as we do on Wednesday night. And Pastor Lance came up and he said something that I had never quite heard before. And it stuck with me. He said, obviously, the Corinthians had the revelation about tongues. Right? Obviously, the Corinthians had the revelation about what tongues were for and what tongues did. Folks, we don't have that revelation. I want the revelation that the Corinthians had. I want the revelation about it that Paul had. I want to understand this thing because it is what builds the house. And if the enemy can successfully take that away from your life, take that out of your life, you will settle for a straw hut. And when the storms of life come on your straw hut, and they will come, Jesus said the storms of life will come, and they will beat upon the house vehemently. And the person, listen, the person who builds his house on what? The rock. When the storms of life come, his house will stand. But the person who lives in the straw hut, what's going to happen to his? It's going to be blown away. Now, what is the difference? What is the difference of the wise guy and the foolish person who builds their house? They not only heard the word, but they did the word. Are you doing tongues? Or have you allowed the enemy to rob you of your tongues? One of the most precious weapons of warfare that God has ever given to the church in the New Testament, that is one of the only things that separates the New Testament from the Old Testament, of course, the blood of Jesus and all. But that is something that we've been given in the New Testament to utilize, and we've stuck it in the closet, and we've allowed the dispensational devils to take it away from us. Now, let's work a little bit. We've got a few minutes. I want to have would you like a revelation of tongues? Would you like to really understand tongues? Not what man teaches or what I say or what a book says, but you've looked in the Bible yourself and you can share and talk about tongues to anybody and know the truth of it. That's what I want you to have over these next couple of weeks. Now, look with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Our church needs a revelation of tongues. And the reason that I really say that is primarily for two purposes. One, I've never heard many of you talk in tongues. And as your pastor, knowing what I know the Word says, I desire to hear every member speak in tongues. I desire because I know that it means something. I know that it means it's an important aspect of your salvation. We're going to talk about all of this stuff. It should be there. Let me tell you something. If you didn't talk in tongues in the first century church, the apostles would come to you and try to find out why you did it. They would come and then ask you, why, what were you baptized in? And we're going to talk about all of this, and I don't want to go there now. I want to build to it. But you remember the story of Samaria, where Philip went to Samaria, and they were baptized. He preached the kingdom of God. He water baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. They'd done many miracles. They were casting out devils. But yet Jerusalem sent the apostles, John and Peter, up there because they had not yet received the Holy Ghost. It was important. And we have allowed it to be taken out of the church, and it is what builds us. And that's the only point I'm going to be able to make today, is if I can get across to you that tongues is what builds you and rebuilds you and then restores you. Now, restoring is not just fixing back. I want you to see this. Restoring in Bible language is not just fixing it back to where it was. He restoreth my soul. Is that what the Bible says? What's your soul? Your mind, right? Emotions, the way you think. He restoreth my soul. That's what David said. Does that mean he's just going to give you a good mind back? You've lost your mind, so he's going to fix it for you? Is that what that means? No. When you come into proper understanding of he restoreth my soul, he gives you the mind of Christ. Come on now. All of a sudden, you stop thinking like you used to think, and you start thinking like Jesus. You start talking like Jesus. You start commanding devils. Am I right? You start speaking like the oracles of God. You start thinking his thoughts and doing the way he did them. Your mind is restored, not to what you think it should be or having a good sharp mind, but to the point that you have the mind of Christ. So in biblical restoration, we're not talking about just getting fixed. So what edifying does, and you're in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. If you'll get the understanding of this, you'll understand what Paul is really doing in 1 Corinthians 14. He's not telling them not to do tongues. That is not what he does here. He is not telling them to stop doing tongues. He's trying to differentiate the gifts of the Spirit. These people had the revelation of tongues. These people utilized tongues. They were building themselves up. They were edifying themselves. That was the problem, is they were taking the gift and using it on themselves rather than edifying the body. They were just concerned about themselves, that they were edifying themselves. This is what he's saying here. What does tongues do? Edify yourself. Prophecy, the prophetic gifts, were edify the body. And this is the whole chapter in the essence of it. And I hope before our study is over that we'll be able to go through this and we'll properly understand how all this works together. Now, King James Bible says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." Now, I want to show you some different translations. The New Revised Standard Version says this: "Those who speak in tongues build up themselves." The Living Bible says, "So a person speaking in tongues," read it to me, "helps himself grow spiritually." Now, if the enemy can rob your tongues, can he stop your spiritual growth? You've got to see that. And if you cannot speak in tongues and not get yourself built up and get excited about God. Where's Diane? She's in the nursery. I mean, how many see her get excited and get built up? She gets me built up. And we get this thing going on. You can't do this and not get excited and built up and grow spiritually in the things of God. It is impossible. Hear me. Say it back to me. It is impossible to speak in tongues and not get built up. You edify yourself. Hallelujah. And we have allowed the enemy to take it out of the church. Let's go on. The NIV Bible. "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Now, who is this gift of tongue primarily for in Paul's understanding of the revelation of tongue? Yourself. Now, let me clarify, because we all know that if a tongue is uttered in the corporate gathering, if it's interpreted, it brings forth the same work as does a prophecy, right? But if it's not, then he's edifying himself. Tongues don't always have to be interpreted. You see, what the dispensational lie tells you, first of all, is it's not for today. You can't have it today because it was just for the first century. I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to show you where they come from, why they get that, where they get that, and I'm going to show you what is wrong. I'm going to show you that. They say it's not for today. But if you can get past that lie and you can find out that it is for today and you get it, then what they'll tell you next is, well, you can't speak in tongues because you've got to have an interpreter. Does every tongue need an interpretation? No. No, because you edify yourself. Paul says, "I will pray in the Holy Ghost, I pray in the Spirit, and I will sing in the Spirit." That doesn't need an interpretation. And so what they do next, you know, is they take you to the place where you can't really have it today. Listen, I'm telling you, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's not what the Bible teaches. Now, moving on. Look at this word, edifieth. This word, edifieth. Edifieth himself. King James Version. And NIV Version. This word, edifieth, is okedomio. Now look at this. It means to build a house, erect a building. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Slip that. It's underneath this. That part. Somewhere it is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house." The literal rendering here is you're being built up as a spiritual house. You are being built into a spiritual house. And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In the realm of the Spirit, you are being built into a spiritual house. How many of you know you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Am I right? You are a house. In your house is your soul. In your house is your spirit. In your house, that is where God truly dwells. If he's not in this temple, then I don't know him. You understand that? Then I build him a spiritual house to dwell in, not a straw hut. And if I use the gift of tongues, then I will build that up. And Ephesians 2:20 and 21 says, "And are built upon," look at this, "the foundation of the apostles and prophets." Now, what was the city of Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, what was it upon? What was the 12 foundations? The 12 apostles of the Lamb. You are built upon that. That's not a literal city. That is the church. That is the bride. That is what you and I are built upon. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Now look at this. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto what? A holy temple. But if you don't have the materials and the equipment to cause that to grow and to be built, then you're going to be a straw hut. You tongues, what tongues does for you is edifies you and builds you into a house, a holy temple. Not a straw hut, but a glorious house. Moving on. Continue on with the definition. To build up from the foundation. To restore. There's that word. Restore by building. To rebuild and repair. Now, let me take just a second here. First thing I want you to see that tongues is given to the church for is to build the house. You'll never get the house built properly to its spiritual capacity that it should be without tongues. Secondly, how many of you have gone through any storms of life? And you come in, and you come into church, and you're all beaten by the storms of life. You may have gotten injured. You may be ill in your body. You may have gotten a bad report from a doctor. You may have children giving you fits. You may have a husband or a wife just going crazy. You don't know what, you know, you're going through the storms of life, and you come in here, but if you can't talk in tongues, you don't have any way to get rebuilt or restored. And if the devil keeps attacking you and knocking you down and keeps on whipping on you and beating on you, if the devil keeps doing that to you, eventually you're going to give up. And now listen to me. Hear how I say this. The people with that mentality are the people that tie the proverbial knot on the end of the rope and hang on hoping for a rapture. But if you understand what I'm trying to tell you, you don't need a rapture. Because what you're doing is overcoming. And you're sitting in the throne. And you're flowing out of the city into the nations like we've talked about today. You're going forth bringing healing. Totally different concept. Totally different concept from what you can have out there. I want you to know the truth. In the Scriptures, the reason people don't grow in God, they come to a certain place and they stop growing and they stop their spiritual maturity is because they are told that tongues are not for today. Now let me hit something. You have got friends and loved ones and relatives, maybe you, that don't speak in tongues. Maybe. Now, why is this? Let me ask you a question. Let me just do it. Why do you or why do relatives and friends and loved ones not speak in tongues? Why? There's really only one reason. They've been taught that it's not for today. It's all going to come to. Somebody will say, well, I know the Bible says you're not supposed to do it. I'm going to deal with that. Okay, I'm going to show you the Bible says to do it. I want you to see this. But what I want you to understand, the reason is because somewhere they were taught that it was wrong. Now, if they sat in a church that believed in it, if they sat in a church that taught it, if they sat in a church where that was the normal, what would they do? Would they most likely speak with tongues? Yes. You see, it's the lie of dispensational doctrine. Now, if you speak in tongues, can anybody tell you it's not for today? Why? You see, where that thing came from, if the enemy can remove that from you by teaching of a preacher, if he can remove it out of your life and make you think that there's something wrong with people that do that, you're not going to do it. Let me ask you another question. If your child goes to church here and they hang around with these kids and they hang around in this church, do they usually just begin speaking in tongues? Nobody has to lay hands on them. Nobody has to do anything. They just start talking in tongues. It's just, am I right or not? Isn't that correct? Isn't that kind of the way it happens? Yeah. Why? Because it should be the normality, not the abnormality. I believe that the Bible doesn't teach that you've got to take somebody and pray them through the Lord's Prayer. doesn't ever say, pray this prayer after me. I believe if we raise our children in covenant, just like they did in the old covenant, if we circumcise them the eighth day, if we set them down at the Passover meal and say, eat this Passover meal, let me tell you about Jesus, they just naturally come into covenant. It's not a supernatural thing. It is the natural thing for a believer to do. This is what the enemy has done. He's made it something spooky and weird. That's not biblical. And we're living in straw houses. Actually, huts. And what I saw wasn't really the straw huts. What I saw was these tin shacks, these little tin huts like you see on television in the third world countries and things. And you see these little tin sheds where people are living in them, families even living in them. You know your shanties. You have these little places where there's tin stacked up against a building or something, and people are living in it. And that's what the Lord showed me that Christians are settling to do. Well, they could have this beautiful mansion, this holy temple, this thing that when storms of life come, it will not even budget. Not because they heard about it. What's the difference? The wise and the foolish? One heard and did. Now, let's move on. I'm just trying to finish up this definition at least. Now, edify, to restore. Now, let me show you this aspect of restoring. I've got just a couple of scriptures here for you. Exodus 22:1. And there's many up there. You need to write those down, and there's many, many more. But if you'll just run a reference on restore, you'll find this is the truth of restoration or restoring in the Scriptures. This is what God does in restoring. But in Exodus 22:1, it says, if a man steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox or four sheep for a sheep. This is God's idea of restoration. Do you remember when Abimelech took Sarah? Remember that not too long ago? Abimelech took Sarah. God said to Abimelech, you're a dead man if you don't restore her. Did he? You better believe. He gave her back real quick. The next morning it says he rose up early and restored Sarah. But he also gave him he donkeys and she donkeys. He gave him he lambs and he goats and she goats and gold and silver and precious things and land and anything Abraham wanted. You see, because that's biblical restoration. And what the devil has done to you and I has caused us to live in a straw hut. And if we catch him, all we make him do for us is build us back our little straw hut. I want you to understand that restoration is bringing you to a place. If you come in here and you're wounded by the storms of life, if you get biblically restored, you're better than you were to start with. You got more than you had when it hit you. That's biblical restoration. And what tongues does for us is build us up in the Spirit. And when the enemy comes and he hits our life, if we'll just learn to take that step and begin to speak in tongues and begin to come forth in tongues, what we get is we get more than we had before we went through it. We come out restored. Not just rebuilt, but restored, rebuilt. Back to a place that we haven't been before. What does tongues do? It causes us to grow to a spiritual place. Metaphorically, you see those Genesis 2:27, Exodus 22:1, 22:4, Leviticus 6:5. Those are scriptures on restoration. Anytime that God uses restoration, you'll find that it's not just giving back what was taken. You know how if you catch the thief, you know how much time he's got to restore back to you? Seven times. That's biblical. That's biblical. And so when we're talking biblical, when you utilize this gift of tongues, it brings you to a place that you've never been before. It builds you up. It builds you up. You've got to have it to build the house to start with, and then you have it to keep the house growing. look at it metaphorically. It means to found, establish. Now look at this. To promote growth in Christian wisdom. Why do we have dumb Christians? We don't have to be dumb. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it to him liberally. We understand? We have not because we ask not, and when we do, we ask for our own. We just got to understand this thing. You know, it can give you Christian growth and Christian wisdom, Christian affection. Now we're talking about Stephanie and the kids. We're talking about how they love these Haitian kids, how they just fell in love with them. And this is what love will do for you. You've got enemies and people that have hurt you and wounded you. Listen, the way we get through those times, if we really want to get through those things, if we'll build ourselves up, we can get beyond those ill feelings. You can stir up the affection that you should have for people. Affection. Grace. Now, what does grace mean to you? Grace is grace mercy? No. What is grace? Grace is God's enabling ability that He puts upon your life to do things that He wants you to do. By grace, you are saved. How can you get the proper grace if you're not using this gift? By the edification of this gift, it enables the gracings in your life. Grace, virtue, holiness, blessedness. Oh, these are the things that tongues can do for us. This is what edifying means. To grow in wisdom. Look at this. To grow in wisdom and devotion and reverence to God. What does it do? It causes us to grow in wisdom and devotion. Don't you desire for that? Don't you desire? Why do people not find time to spend time with the Lord, have a devotional time? Why do people seem to stop growing in their wisdom or stop growing in their relationship with God? It's simply because if they have this gift, they don't know how to utilize this gift, and they put it on a shelf in the back room somewhere and never bring it out. I want you to understand tongues are for today. Now, I'm going to jump way up, and I just want you to see something, and then I'm done. Because some people say, well, I think the Bible really says... First of all, Galen, I want you to put up there for me number 2, the scripture. Well, okay, where it says 2 Corinthians 2:11. I want to show you some points that I want to make and I will be making. 2 Corinthians 2:11. You got that up there? What's wrong with that scripture? Lest Satan should get an advantage on us, for we are ignorant of his devices. But which is the truth today? Does Satan get an advantage over most believers? Why? Because we're ignorant of his devices. Or, as Terry says it, ignore it. So you and I might not be ignorant of tongues, but we ignore it. We don't utilize it. The reason that people don't talk in tongues is because the Bible says not to talk in tongues. Let me show you what the Bible says, and then we're through for today. Write these down. I don't have time to linger on them. I'll just show them to you. 1 Corinthians 14:5. I would that you all spake with tongues. But I'd rather you prophesy. Now, again, understanding what the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians is really about helps you understand this. He's not saying don't talk in tongues. What's he saying? I wish that everybody did this. But I want you to come to the place in your spiritual growth where you can prophesy. I just don't want you building yourself up, having an Enoch walk, right? Yeah. You know, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. But it was a very selfish walk because he didn't take anybody with him. It was just Enoch and God. Me and Jesus, we got it. That's, he says, I don't want that for you. I want you to have that. I want you to be able to build yourself up, but I want you to also minister to others. Yeah.